It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying in the book of Acts, and we've been looking at the life of Stephen, very briefly at his life. And we've been looking in Acts chapter 6 and 7, how that he was brought before the council, that is, the religious people of that day. They should have known the scriptures, but they did not know the scripture. At least they did not heed the scriptures that Stephen was about to give to them. And Stephen had been accused falsely that he was trying to do away with everything that Moses had done and everything that Father Abraham had done. But he quickly started pointing out not what he thought, but what the Bible said and what it says. And we too, as saved people, it's good for us to have a testimony, and it's good for us to tell people what God has done for us in our lives. But it's even better when we can show from the Word of God what God has done for us and what He's doing and what He's going to do. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword according to the Word of God. And when we witness to someone, we need to be giving them the Word of God. Tell them how to be saved. And for that person who is saved and we're talking with them, we need to carry on a conversation based upon the Word of God, not what we think, but what the Word of God says. Well, this is what Stephen was doing, and he was telling these people exactly the way it was, coming from the Word of God. We continue reading now in Acts chapter 7, and let me invite you to have your Bible open and get your Bible and take some notes. And if you do not hear everything, you do not get all of the scriptures down, go to one of our websites that will be given the address to you at the end of this program. Well, let's pick up with Acts chapter 7 and verses 17 through 43. Once again, this is God's deliverance of Israel by Moses. And this comes from the Word of God. And this is exactly what Stephen was giving to the people who had questioned him. And of course, they were getting ready to do something terrible to Stephen. Acts chapter 7, starting reading in verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full of 40 years, he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at his saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Well, the children of Israel, now that's the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 17 through 43. And we see that by studying the scriptures and what Stephen was saying, the children of Israel were in Egypt and they became slaves. And we've read about, and it's in the Word of God, and Stephen was telling these people this about the work of Moses. He was a deliverer of Israel. And he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated by the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds, and he kills an Egyptian, but he's despised by his brethren. He flees to Midian, where he has two sons, and the Lord appears to him in a burning bush at Mount Sinai. And then he returns to Egypt. He delivers Israel and brings them into the wilderness. Now, Stephen is giving these people who were around him, these people who had accused him, these people who had brought these accusers, and they paid them to lie against Stephen, all of these people, they were hearing the word of God from Stephen. Now, notice in Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, and actually through 50, we see God's true tabernacle. And as we study this, we see the fathers of Israel had the tabernacle of witness. And in the wilderness, it was built according to the pattern shown Moses. And it was brought into the promised land by Joshua. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, Stephen says, Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And verse 45 of Acts 7 goes on to say, Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Well, this reference in verse 45 is to Joshua, whose name was the Hebrew form of Jesus, meaning Jehovah. Now, you'll read that word Jesus in that verse, and it's talking about Joshua. And it actually means Jehovah, the Savior, or simply salvation. We know that Joshua would lead the people later on. He would become the leader. Well, these people, they also had the temple, and the temple asked for by David. And they had found favor before God, and they had the temple built by David's son Solomon. In Acts chapter 7, verses 46 through 47, it says, Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. And we see that, once again, let me stop here just for a moment and let you know that I do not believe that Stephen had the Word of God opened in front of him. I believe that Stephen had committed the Word of God to memory. He was quoting the scriptures from memory. And he was giving it just like it is written in the Word of God. And so should we. We should be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And once again, that's according to the scriptures. We're to be able to tell people who we were, where we came from, and who we are now. We've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that He's able to save them as well. And we need to be able to tell them and show them from the scriptures how that they can be on their way to heaven by trusting Jesus as Savior. Well, Stephen had committed to memory the scriptures, and he continues on in chapter 7 of Acts, verses 48 and 50. It says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all things?" Well, he says the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands in these verses that we just read. For heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, and his hand made all things, all of these things. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Stephen is quoting that. Stephen is telling these people what God has said and what he is saying. And I'd like to read that last section once again, verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 66. It says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." God is speaking to you today if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're willing to tremble at the word of God, if God is speaking to your heart, then there is hope for you. There is a time right now that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't think that it's going to last forever. I'm talking about the time that you have to be saved. There's coming a time when your life will end. And unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you will go to a place called hell. It is a real place. Some people take it lightly. Some people use it with their language as they speak. But it is a real word. It is a real place. It's a place, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where you will be unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not asking you and telling you that you need to trust the church. I'm not telling you that you need to trust a man. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to ask Him to come into your heart, "Lord, forgive me for my sin. I ask you, Lord, to save me so that one day I will see you personally and I can thank you for saving my soul." If you'll pray a prayer like that, the prayer won't save you. The words won't save you. It's what's in your heart. But if you'll pray that prayer and believe it and mean it in your heart, God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You need to ask Him to come into your heart right now before it's too late. Ask Him. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray for that soul nearest hell now that you would save that person. May they ask you to come into their heart right now before it's too late.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.